13. And thank you folks for coming tonight. It's a, you know, it's a privilege. I mean, a man couldn't be a pastor unless he had someone to pastor. And it's a blessing when folks at the church show up so that the pastor can, you know, have a congregation. I remember when we were in Bible college, we used to have a, at our Bible college, one of the requirements for preacher boys was we had to preach three sermons every single week. Three sermons that were 5 minutes every week. And so we'd preach on the street corners, we'd preach in nursing homes, we'd preach on buses. We would go out, and our college property was on, we had some acreage there, and there were trees out there. And man, I don't know how many of them trees were ever saved, but they sure got preached to a lot, I can tell you that. All the preacher boys would go out there and preach to those trees. Well, thank the Lord you came, because I'd rather preach to you guys and share the Word of God with living people than trees. So thank you all for coming. I'm excited about this tonight because we've, again, last week, chapter number 13, we saw that the church there at Antioch, of course, the Holy Spirit of God called Saul and Barnabas to be missionaries, and then the church commissioned them and prayed for them and sent them out. And we looked at where they were sent, or I'm sorry, where they left from. And Brother Tim, if you'll put that one up there, I found today it's like an interactive map on the different missionary journeys of Paul. It's pretty neat. And we'll look at a couple of these here. But if you'll hit that replay over here, now watch, because watch and you'll see exactly where he goes. Okay, look at this. Now, that journey right there, I'll have Brother Tim do that again in a minute. But it was about 47, 48, and 49 A.D. when he did that. So it wasn't like he just hopped on a ship and, you know, went for a week or two. I'm talking about it took like between 2 and 3 years for this missionary journey. And some of these churches that, okay, for example, the book of Galatians were written to the churches in Galatia. Not just to one church, but there were several churches in Galatia. And Brother Tim, there it is right up there. If you will see, well, I tell you what, Brother Tim, if you'll show that other one up there in just a minute. But there's Galatia right there, okay? Now, if you will, we'll come back and look at this again. But Galatia, there it is, kind of, you can see kind of the whole thing there. But this is back in Paul's time and modern time, okay? So the things in red are modern day, like right here, Turkey. There's Ankara. I think that's how I've heard it pronounced different ways. But anyway, that's the capital of Turkey right there. And so this Galatia here was a province. And here's what I found out in studying all of these things. And, of course, y'all probably have learned this too. But as you're going back through history and trying to figure out where the boundaries for everything were, there's a lot of difference of opinion of where everything. I mean, you know, we've had difference of opinion in the boundaries of the United States and Mexico in recent history. So you can imagine 2,000 years ago. So, and the reason I say that is because here's Pisidia down here, and here's Cappadocia over there, and Phrygia, and Pamphylia, and Lycia, and Cilicia. Well, Galatia was a Roman province, and it was a good-sized province, okay? So, some say that Phrygia and Pamphylia used to be part of Galatia. Some say, no, they were separate, so I don't know for sure. Some say, and again, it don't matter. What does it matter? But anyway, and the reason I'm saying this is because this is the church we're going to look at in a minute. The church that Paul starts there, Antioch of Pisidia. There's Lystra and Derbe and Iconium. And the only reason I'm saying that is because a lot of people think that actually this was part of the larger region of Galatia. So when Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia, it would be, now for sure, Antioch is, okay? Antioch is in the southernmost part of Galatia. So for sure, one of the churches he wrote the book of Galatians to, was the church at Antioch. And it's possible that it was these churches over in these other places that he also started. And some say it didn't include those. So the only reason I'm saying is because Galatia was in this part of the world anyway, okay? And Antioch of Pisidia, which we're going to look at in a minute, was part of Galatia. All right, now, he starts off right here. He goes over here. Then he comes down to Paphos. Paphos. Let me just read you. Of course, Cyprus was that island right there, of course. That's where Barnabas was from. And this was a main stopping off place for commercial fleets of the day. The capital right here, Paphos, was known all over the world for their worship of Venus. That was the goddess of love or lustful immorality. And so this place here was a wicked place. It was not a nice, godly place. It was a wicked place. And that's where Paul and them started. And again, that's where Barnabas came from. And remember, we've already looked that in the earlier parts of chapter 13, verse 6, they came there, right there to Paphos. And that's where the first convert was, right there on this first missionary journey. And Elymas, the sorcerer, withstood the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. And you can see the Lord kind of directing Paul to be the leader of this team now. And that's interesting because Barnabas, he's been the leader. But Barnabas is the one that went and got Saul and brought him back. And now the Lord is kind of elevating Saul and he's going to be the leader of the group. Which that speaks very highly of Barnabas to me, because Barnabas has been the main guy, and now the Lord is putting Saul up there, and of course he's going to be known as the great missionary to the Gentiles, and yet Barnabas just kind of backs up and lets Paul take the limelight. Now that takes a big man to do that, that's for sure. So I like Barnabas. I really, really like this guy. And this is interesting. As we're talking about this, I didn't mention this last week, but in verse number 9 it says, "Then Saul, who is also called Paul." Now, that's the first time Saul is called Paul, and from now on he is referred to as Paul. Saul, now this is what I've read, okay? Saul was the Jewish name given to him. Now, Saul was a Jew, okay? Now, remember, he was from here, right there. And by the way, this is interesting, too, as we talk about this, and I want to say it so I don't forget it. This is where Paul was from, or Saul was from, right there. And then remember, he got saved, and then the brethren sent him away, and he went back to Tarsus, remember? Then Barnabas was over here in Antioch, sent by the church, saw the grace of God, the church was growing there at Antioch. Barnabas went to Tarsus to seek Saul, found him. Brought him back. They were there with the church, preaching, teaching, and they were first called Christians here at Antioch. But now notice this. Here is Tarsus. Okay, that's where Saul is from. That was a Roman province, but yet Saul was a Jew, and that's very important. Later on, you're going to see that because one time the Romans they beat him, and then he said, "Is it lawful to you to do this to a Roman citizen?" And then the guy that was in charge of doing it got really worried. Because he didn't know he was a Roman citizen. He just thought he was a Jew. Well, he was a Jew, but he was a Roman citizen too, because he was born up here. But in relation to all of this, okay, look. Now, okay, here's Antioch right here. Actually, Paul goes from here, then he goes to Perga, and then he goes to Antioch, then over here to Lystra, Derbe, Iconium. Now, look, I would think that Paul was probably familiar with that area of the world, wouldn't you? Now, that's interesting because Paul goes into this synagogue here in just a little. Well, we're going to look at it here in a minute. Actually, verse 14. And he goes into the synagogue there in Antioch right here. So there was a synagogue. So there was Jewish people there. He went in there, sat down after the reading. Then the Bible says, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them saying, "Ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." So, And this was a normal thing. If they had distinguished persons or people that were local or that were strangers or, you know, from out of town, it was a custom that they would allow them to say something if they wanted. So I would imagine that Saul being from here and you know, him already having been in the ministry now for several years, I would imagine that people had heard about him and they were familiar with the man. And so, again, this is interesting because it's not like Paul is going to a part of the world, at least this part here, where he had never been. I'm sure he was familiar with this part of the world up there, and that's interesting to me. But Saul was his Jewish name. Paul was his Roman name. Now, this is what I read. I'm not telling you anything that I made up. This is all what history says. His Roman or Gentile name. Okay, now that's interesting. Because up until this time, he has been known as Saul. Because he's mainly been ministering to the Jews. But now God already told him in chapter number 9 that he was going to send him to the Gentiles. God had already said that. But now you see, in the Holy Spirit of God calling Saul and Barnabas, the church sending them out, now they're actually, again, for the first time, commissioned by the church, going out specifically for the work of evangelization. And they're going to, now there are Jews up in this area, but it's not Jerusalem, it's not Judea, this is Gentile world. This is Roman provinces up here. So, in this passage of Scripture here, and where we read it, verse number 9, understand that when they came to this city right here, that this man was a Gentile man. Now, he was, the Bible says, verse 7, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man. Now, that the false prophet, the Jew, tried to withstand this man from hearing the gospel. That word, the deputy of the country, that means that he was a proconsul or a governor. He was a governor for the Roman government for this part of the world right here. And this was a very strategic part of the world for the Roman government because it was on, you have like any of the, of course, Rome is over here. You have the shipping lanes and all of the places that they would stop. This was one of the main commercial places that ships would stop as they went to this part of the world over here. So the man had he was high up in the Roman government. And now the Apostle Paul is going to preach to this man, or Saul. And so to me it's interesting that he's used Saul. The Bible calls him Saul up until this time. But now he's dealing with Gentiles. And from now on, he's going to be primarily taking the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, you see him still trying to reach the Jews. And in the book of Romans, he said he would give his life for his brethren, the Jews, if they would just get saved. So he never lost his heart for his own people. But his ministry was to the Gentiles. Okay, so, and as he is now, as the Lord is now directing his ministry towards the Gentiles, now the Bible refers to him as Paul. And that's what we know him as. And that's what he's known as, Paul, the great missionary to the Gentiles. So that's interesting there. So then he goes to Pamphylia. Well, this area is Pamphylia. He goes to Perga right here. But this is in Pamphylia. Pamphylia was an area right along the coast that was about 80 miles long, in width. It was about 25 miles from the coast, actually inland here. And they say that it was a place where it was a big habitation for pirates. And it was a very dangerous place. They say that it was known for the marshes that were there. And with those marshes, they were also known for their diseases. Malaria was a very, very common disease. And it was very common along this part of the world right here. So they were known for piracy. They were known, it was a very harsh place to live, very rough country, so it was a pretty safe place for pirates, they say, because a lot of people wouldn't go there because of the disease and the harsh climate and just the living condition. So they say that only the hardiest and the wickedest of souls could survive there. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Because that's where the Apostle Paul went. Okay, now this is interesting. As we read, let's go ahead and read verse 13 here. Excuse me, 13:13. Amen. Thank you. Now, verse 13. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. So from right there is where John Mark left, and he went back to Jerusalem, which would be down that way just a little bit right there. Okay? And again, that's going to cause a lot of contention between Paul and Barnabas, so much that they actually split up their ministry. But then again, later on, thank the Lord for the influence of Barnabas, because something happened. And, you know, people speculate. You read John Mark left because of this. He left because of this. We don't know why he left, but he left. But somewhere along the way, and you know, people say that he quit. And well, you know, I don't know that he was a quitter just because he left this journey and went back to Jerusalem doesn't mean that he quit on God. Okay, I don't know. I know this. At the end of the Apostle Paul's life, he wanted Mark to be there. He specifically called for Mark. This is John Mark, okay? And John Mark's mother, remember, was the lady that provided her house for the place where they were praying for Peter. So he came from a good family. I mean, again, I don't know why he left the journey, but I know when they, in chapter 15... when they go on their second missionary journey, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark again, and Paul didn't want to. And the Bible says that the dissension was so sharp that they split up. Barnabas took one person, a different person. Paul took a different person. But yet, again, at the end of Paul's life, he wanted John Mark to be there. So, I don't know why John Mark left, but anyway, he did. And so then it says, verse 14, but when they departed from Perga, they came into Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Now, this is interesting because the Bible says they came to Perga. John Mark left them there, and then they continued on to Antioch in Pisidia. Now, this is known as Pisidian Antioch or Antioch of Pisidia, and it is distinguished that way so you won't get it confused with the Antioch of Syria, or the Syrian Antioch, which was the headquarters, the home church of Paul and Barnabas, okay? So this is a different Antioch right up here. And it's interesting because John Mark leaves them here, and they go on to here, and then they go on the synagogue, and Paul preaches. But the Bible doesn't say anything about preaching in Perga. Maybe he did. We know that on the trip back, he came back, and he did. He did preach. That's recorded. But this first time, I don't know if he did or not because the Bible doesn't say. But they did go to Antioch, and they went in the synagogue at the end of verse 14 on the Sabbath day and sat down. We read verse 15. Now let's look at verse 16. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, and then now we have, actually, this is the first recorded message of the Apostle Paul. Now he's preached, obviously, before this. But we don't have any messages that he preached. This is actually the first recorded message in Scripture as far as a regular sermon that we have of the Apostle Paul, and what a sermon it was. Here's what you're going to, as you read this, this is interesting. Because as you read this, you're going to be reminded, probably, of Peter's message on the day of Pentecost. You're also going to be reminded of Stephen's message in Acts chapter number 7. Now, that's interesting to me because Paul was standing there when Stephen died. Remember that? And then also, I'm sure that the Apostle Paul heard Stephen's defense. But the Apostle Paul did not just get all of this history from Stephen. Or the message of the day of Pentecost. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Okay, so he knew the scriptures as far as knowing them. So this is interesting because he goes down through here now and he starts preaching to them. Well, I tell you what, before I go into his message, let me tell you about this city here, Antioch here, okay? It's set on a high plain about 3,600 feet above sea level. It was a cultural and commercial center, and it was by far the most important city of Galatia. Again, this is the southern part of Galatia, but the most important city in Galatia. It was founded around 300 B.C. It was made a free city by Rome in 25 B.C. It was made the military center of the district by Rome to control the surrounding wild tribes of native people. Now, remember, I said Perga down here is a bunch of pirates. So they say that all this area here just had a bunch of wild, you know, pirates or wild people. Do y'all know that pirates right now hold many ships from the world off the coast of Somalia? I mean, actually, they've hijacked the ships. They actually have ships there. I mean, like more than one. So pirates had never been like good people. Well, Rome made this the military center so that they could control all this crowd around here. And again, it was a great commercial city, and it was a very important city on the trade route between Ephesus and Syria. Okay? Now, this church was established here in Antioch, but as we're going to see, it was not an easy task to do this. Paul and Barnabas were confronted right off the bat with a lot of opposition. And so, matter of fact, we're going to read here. Well, we won't read it tonight, but you get over the end of chapter number 13. And the Bible says, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. So they left this time as they started this church under persecution. I mean, they had to act. I mean, they were being persecuted when they left. And it was the Jews that were doing it. OK, and then the same crowd here from this town is the one that went over here to Iconium over here. Is it Iconium or Lystra? I can't remember now which one it is. Chapter 14, verse 19. Let me look over there real quick. 14:19. Certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium. I think it was in Lystra where he was at. But Jews from Antioch and Iconium, I think it was here at Lystra, they actually, next chapter, stoned the Apostle Paul and left him for dead. Now, I personally think the Apostle Paul died then. I think he really did die. And that explains the account about him going to the third heaven. Okay, and then God raised him back from the dead. And then he went on. But anyway, all that happened right up here. And it was some of these Jews right here that the Apostle Paul preached to that were in so much opposition to him. All right, now, so that kind of gives you a little a background of what's going on here. So the two ministers, I'm preachers here, Paul and Barnabas, they entered the city. And on the Sabbath, Sabbath day, they went into the synagogue. Okay, as strangers, again, I say strangers, they were not actually from there, but I do think they knew who the Apostle Paul was. They invited them to speak, the Bible says. And again, that was a tradition. And that's verse 16. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel and you that fear God, give audience. And then Paul preaches. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an high arm brought he them out of it. Now, for time's sake, we're not going to read all of this message. I'm just going to kind of go down through here and tell you what he preached about. OK. And we'll just kind of hit some of these things here. First of all, he said that the emphasis again is upon God himself and how he has borne and suffered with man all through history. And he says that, number one, well, I should say it like this. Number one, in this message, he says that God is the one that chose Israel. He said that right there. Men and brethren, excuse me. Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers. So Paul says, God is the one that chose Israel. Number two, Paul says, God not only chose Israel, but God delivered Israel. That's also there in chapter number 17. It says, he brought them out with an high arm. And with an high arm brought he them out. And he says, God put up with them. That's what suffered means. It says, verse 18, and about the time of 40 years, suffered he their manners in the wilderness. That basically means he put up with them for 40 years out there. Now, again, understand that it was not God's will for them to be out there wandering around for 40 years if they would have obeyed. Now, God knew all that was going to happen because God is sovereign. But if they had just done what God said, they wouldn't have been out there for those 40 years wandering around. But again, as God being sovereign, he knew that was going to happen because he knew how Israel was going to respond. So, if you'll remember that 40 years in there, man, they griped, they complained, they murmured. I mean, they did all kinds of things against Moses. And again, of course, again, Moses said, it's not against you, it's against God. But even though during that time, God still gave them glorious provision, the pillar of cloud by day and a fire by night. To me, that's one thing in the Bible that I would really like to have the ability to see. The pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of cloud by night, and it was always there. That would have been amazing. And of course, they had manna for food, yet they grumbled, they murmured, they rebelled against him. But he still suffered, put up with them. This is what Paul's preaching. Then he said, God led Israel to conquer Canaan. 19. Okay, talks about them destroying those seven nations in the land of Canaan. Then he says, God gave Israel judges. And of course, the last judge was also the first prophet, and that was Samuel. And then this is all what he's preaching all down through here. Then God gave Israel a king of their own choosing, a man named Saul. Now, you know all that story, but God put in Saul. Then the Bible says that God removed him and raised up unto them David to be their king. And then that's the, in this section here, it's the last point of this first part of the message here. God raised up a special king of his own choosing. Now, this is interesting because Paul is showing that man's choice failed, I should say. He fell into sin. If again, we use that word, he didn't just fall into it like an accident. He went into it on purpose. But he did go into sin and he failed. And even God's choice still sinned. But he's trying to show them, he's trying to set all this up to show them that David, or God removed Saul when Saul was disobedient, and God put in David, and he's going, see what Paul is preaching, he's laying the groundwork to introduce the fact that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. That's what he's preaching to these people. And he's laying the groundwork to show that. All right, now, that's down to verse 23. Now, starting in verse 24, he's going to start talking about the Messiah. Actually, verse 23 here, he starts talking about the Messiah. And this was the main thrust of his message. The Savior is Jesus Christ. Now, the name Jesus, and he uses that in the end of verse 23. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Now again, he's preaching to the Jews. He's in the synagogue here. Okay, and obviously there were Gentiles that were listening to this message. The Bible makes that clear later on here, because they were excited about what they heard. But he's preaching to Jews, and the Jews understood the significance of that word Jesus. The word Jesus means Savior. The Hebrew form is Joshua, which means Jehovah is salvation. So he's preaching to them that this man Jesus was the Savior. And he's going to prove to them that this man, Jesus, was the Christ or the Messiah. Okay? And here's how he's going to do that. First of all, he's going, and again, we're going on down here now, verse 23. He's going to say, first of all, that the Savior was proclaimed by a forerunner, and that was John the Baptist. That's verse 24. And so he's trying to tell them that the world was not caught off guard by the birth of Jesus, by the birth of the Savior. His his coming was announced by the pre-runner, and that was John the Baptist. He sent John the Baptist to proclaim the baptism of repentance, and John the Baptist did preach repentance. And John the Baptist preached the coming of the Savior. That's what it says in verse 24 and verse 25. And John the Baptist said that he was not the Savior, and he says that. He said, whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. So again, Paul is telling them that the birth of the Savior, the announcement of the Savior, was not something that caught the world off guard. God had it all planned. And God, like he had said in the Old Testament, sent this forerunner of Christ, John the Baptist, to announce his coming and to announce that he is the one. And John is the one that said, he must increase, I must decrease. Now, John the Baptist was a great man. No doubt about that. Okay. Then he preaches that the Savior is the word of salvation being proclaimed unto you. Look at verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. And again, salvation means deliverance. It means he's talking about the one who would deliver them both from the power and the penalty of sin and of death and of judgment. And Paul declared that Jesus Christ is the word of salvation. In other words, he's telling them that salvation is found in this man, Jesus Christ. And then he says, then he goes on and he says, for they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every day. And then he goes on and talks about the fact that they killed him, they put him in the grave, and yet God raised Jesus from the dead. He says that. And then down in verse, he says it in verse 29 and verse 30. Then he talks about them, the resurrection there. And then he says, number 32, and we declare unto you glad tidings, now that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, and that he raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So Paul tells them that Jesus is the one whom God raised from the dead. Jesus is God's Son, the only begotten of God. Paul tells them that he is the Holy One that did not suffer corruption. Verse number 35, he says there, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Paul preaches that through Jesus is the forgiveness of sins. I think two of the greatest verses in the Bible are verse 38 and 39. It says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, talking about Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So, man, he's preaching to them that there is salvation in Jesus Christ. And deliverance that the law of Moses could never give you. This man, Jesus Christ, offers that salvation. And this man is the Savior of the world. The rulers, your rulers, crucified him outside Jerusalem. They buried him, but God raised him from the dead. That's what Paul is preaching to this crowd here in Antioch of Pisidia. Right up here is where he's preaching this, right there. And again, that's the Roman center for the military, for that part of the world. It's a major commercial city, the most important city in all of Galatia. And this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, standing up here and preaching this. And then he says that the Savior was rejected and crucified against. And then he says he was raised by God from the dead. He forgives for sins and he justifies all who believes apart from the law. And then the last two verses that we'll cover tonight are verses 40 and 41. He says, beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Now, we don't have time to look at this, but you can go back to, he is making reference to Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse number 5. I tell you what, we better. No, we don't have time. You can go look at it. But here's what the Apostle Paul was saying. In Habakkuk 1:5, it says that God was going to do a work, which when people, I better read it. Okay, it's 7:05. I'm trying to finish, but I don't want to get this messed up here because this is a blessing. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse number 5. Now, of course, Habakkuk, along with the other prophets, is preaching that if you don't get right with God, you're going to be destroyed. And you're going to be scattered amongst the nations of the world. And he says in verse 5, behold, ye among the heathen, that means the nations, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. Then he says, I'll raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation. And so God's telling them about the Chaldeans, how they're going to destroy them. But the Apostle Paul uses that as a reference to the fact that this is Jesus Christ. Habakkuk was referring to something that was going to take place then, but he was also making reference to the Messiah that would come later. Okay? And what he's saying is, in verse 41, behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. So here's what he's saying. Since he has come, since this Jesus, this Savior, has come, men must beware lest that what the prophet declared come upon them, that they would not believe it, even though they heard it. And here's what he's saying. They can be despisers. Now that means that if they're not careful, if these people are not careful to whom the Apostle Paul is preaching, then they could despise this work that God has done in sending His Son to be the Savior and raising Him back from the dead. They could despise that. In other words, they could look down upon that. Or they could think lightly of that. Or they could even act against that, which is what had already been done to Christ, of course. And He's warning them, you better beware about what I'm preaching, or you can be in the same boat. Okay? Then it says about wander and perish. He's saying you've got to beware, or you will wander and perish. Here's the idea. The idea is that a man can perish wondering if Jesus is truly the Savior and if the word the apostle preached is really the truth. In other words, they have to beware that they don't just wonder about it and think about it so long that they get to the point where they just take it lightly and they get to the point where they die without Christ because that's perish, because they're trying to figure out if this is really the truth or not. In other words, what he's telling them is the truth, and he's exhorting them to believe it by faith. And don't tarry and wonder and take it lightly and turn against the truth that you're hearing preached. So that's what that means. And this is all Paul's first recorded sermon right here in Antioch of Pisidia. Now, we'll finish with these verses. I'm not going to preach about them anymore, but it says verse 42. And when the Gentiles were going out of the synagogue, and when the Jews were going out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Okay, so obviously the Gentiles had heard what Paul had preached, and they wanted to know more about it. Then the next verse says, we won't keep going down. Verse 44, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. So, you can imagine during that week what the conversation was in Antioch of Pisidia. And the Bible does say in verse 43 that there were many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas. And so obviously some of them listened to the Apostle Paul, some of them didn't. Okay, and that's usually the same response that you see. as the Word of God is being preached, and it hasn't changed much, has it? Some believe, some don't. But you can see the boldness of the Apostle Paul. I can just imagine him standing there in that synagogue preaching this. Wow. What a message. He, Paul, filled with the Word of God, and what a great man. This is exciting because this is really the launching forth of the ministry of the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles. And that's exciting. Well, let's stand. I hope that's been a blessing to you. As this thing unfolds, it just gets better and better and better. And then you're going to see the Apostle Paul going to these different cities. And we're going to look at his second journey later on, then his third journey, then his final voyage to Rome when he finally gives his life over there for the Lord. But this is just amazing because it all starts off with the apostles there and the Lord founding the church. Then you see the church growing in the book of Acts, the early part, and then the gospel is spreading around the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for allowing us to study your word, and thank you for giving us this message here so that we can see the power of the Holy Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul and his boldness. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to be bold and that you'd help us to take a stand for the Lord and tell people the truth that they need to hear, and that is that Jesus Christ is the Savior. Lord, during this invitation, we pray that you'd speak to our hearts. And if there's folks here that, Lord, need to do business with you, we pray they will. In Jesus' name, amen. As Miss Vicki plays through one verse of a song.